Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Even the most hard-hearted of football cynic, the type of character who would describe Flower of Scotland as a dirge and a funeral song on an earlier edition of the Second Caps podcast this week, even such an emotionally stunted individual as Ken Early must have felt something stir inside that cold heart as 50,000 Scottish fans belted out their anthem before their team stuffed Spain's noses into the Hampden Park dirt last night. Hey, Murph.
Hey, on, how's it going?
I say last night, the week is running away, me, Murph. It was one of the dramatic.
I'll tell you what night it was, on. It was bloody Tuesday night.
Yeah, there you are.
And today's Thursday, so.
Listen, you've had your Scots, your issues with the Scots over the years, but never for a minute have you questioned the catchiness of their national. Not for a minute. Ken needn't have worried anyway, by the way. It didn't take long for the PA system to drown them out after full time.
Full time at Hampden. It has finished Scotland 2, Spain 0.
Oh, fuck off, Reef.
What a
desire,
win for really. Scotland.
Come on. That was a good 10 seconds from the full-time whistle. Fairness, 10 seconds is actually, it's quite a gap these days. Somebody's actually dropped the ball.
The atmosphere was funereal there for like about 7 seconds after the full-time whistle, after Scotland have beaten Spain 2-0 at home.
Yeah. No,
can't be having that.
No, someone's dropped the ball there, whoever's in charge of the PA system. They almost gave those fans a chance to enjoy the moment. They've got to take a lesson from Ireland's Grand Slam win.
Sean Garrison, is he held up or otherwise the referee's whistle has gone? He said the ball was knocked on, but the referee has blown the full-time whistle. We have time for no more. Welcome to the home of the Grand Slam champions.
I think it's four.
It was,
we said 5 seconds.
For a long period of time.
It might actually be 4 seconds. That is
riveting game. It's Ireland who deserve to win this one.
It's honestly, it's as if it's in charge of the, it's another thing that the ref has to do now as well at sporting events. It's like, blow the full-time whistle, but also cue up Freed from Desire. It should be part of the referee.
Maybe there is some sort of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it could be a GPS sort of system.
Yeah. You may now play Freed from Desire. you just see rugby referees with their finger in the air.
Yeah.
You may award the playing of Freed from Desire.
I like the way you backed off the generic English TMO accent there.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
No, it's, you started with it and then you... So well done, Scotland, on the actual victory against Spain. We were stuck with a moral one against France, denied a point by this ridiculous and ridiculously annoying save by Mike Magnon.
Dernière minute du temps réglementaire, cette fois-ci, il a bien frappé.
C'est sublime, sublime, sublime. Parce que
la
ça
détente,
va vite, hein.
Le réflexe,
yeah. Le coup de
tête, incroyable, extraordinaire. Fucking pain in the arse is what it was. Why do I keep cursing on this podcast?
I don't know.
I've had it up to here with that save. You know, the new angle came out with somebody taking it from a different angle, videos going around, and it just, he didn't save it. He still, I can't, in my mind's eye, that ball is sailing, will forever be sailing into the top corner. I'm sure Nathan Collins probably feels.
Well, listen, we all saw the foul-mouthed nature of Nathan Collins, Nathan Collins' mutterings to himself. How did he fucking save that? Literally, like, the camera panned to him 8 different times between the chance, between the save and the end of the RTE coverage. Yeah. And every single time the camera was on him, he was just shaking. He was like,
oh, I heard of that.
Fucking save that.
A bit of Kane here talking about his disdain for Flower of Scotland. Some thoughts on the match. A little Jason Malumbi chat near the end.
The Irish Times put out my match report last night and I saw one of their comments underneath to me. She said, go away, you clown. This is from Niall of Cork. Compare those two sides player for player. Ireland having a single player playing in the Champions League.
Well, he's one of my sock puppets, by the way, Niall from Cork. Why you clown?
Very unlucky not to get the draw. You wrote a hatchet job this morning and couldn't have the good grace to give Kenny some credit for a super performance. So that was one constituency I wasn't expecting to have.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
well, you're sitting there like the BBC now, aren't you? You're sitting there like the BBC now. You know, well, if they're both complaining,
well,
I've got to be doing something right.
Done or,
I didn't think you... Did he hammer them?
No, and it definitely wasn't a hatchet job. I mean, it was more sort of, maybe it was a bit of concern trolling. Oh, do we really think we can go balls out against France? Is that really what we're going to do? But of course, we didn't do that.
Nope.
So, anyway,
I did see people calling our formation a 3-4-2-1.
Well, that is what that's what it is. It's our 3-4-2-1 variant.
Yeah. But it looked...
It was a novel 3-4-2-1.
To the untrained eye, it looked a lot like a 5-4-1.
Well, you know, that's... I think you've answered your own question
for
there.
For just to be three
to
in
the untrained
back line,
eye.
Yeah, for there just to be three people in the back line, the two on either side would have to be pushed forward a little further than they were last night.
To the untrained eye.
I'm not saying I think it was the wrong decision. I'm just saying 3-4-2-1 sounds a lot edgier than 5-4-1.
Well, look, it was 3-4-2-1. You know, it was a flexible 3-4-2-1. Let's go through this then.
Yeah.
You were at the game, Owen.
Yeah.
How would you rate the Aviva atmosphere?
Ooh, the Aviva atmosphere.
I think they've improved the playlist.
Improved? Well, Enter Sandman's in there, so that's a good start. They obviously went for Freed from Desire before kickoff, because it's contractually obliged now that any sporting event has that. Bit of Enter Sandman.
I look
at
forward to hearing it at the National Football League final on Sunday.
I got into my seat nice and early, and I'm not patting myself on the back. You know, I did get into my seat nice and early, so I am patting myself on the back.
Yeah.
There weren't quite as many there. I thought everyone's going to be here, you know, 25 minutes before kickoff. No, not quite the case. People filed in. Got excited. A lot of booing. There was a lot of booing from the crowd.
They booed the French anthem.
Even La Marseillaise was booed. Aren't we supposed to hop along and sing that song? That's what we've done previously.
Actually, I do remember singing the song in Paris.
In Paris, that's what I mean. Yeah. Literally, it's like, this is the...
Yeah, exactly. I remember.
So, yeah, overall, sorry, I'm talking about through every moment. I thought it was amazing at times, and then really quiet. The goal absolutely knocked the stuffing out of the fans for ages until Nathan Collins took over the role that Jason Malumbi had played in the first half of exhorting the crowd.
Yeah.
Collins just starts winning, getting up for quarters, and then everyone's getting going again. So, really, like, it's one of those ones, right? I thought it was obviously a good atmosphere. It can't not be a good atmosphere when you're playing France and it's a competitive game and it's reasonably close and your team are playing quite well. If the goal had gone in, if the equaliser had gone in, you'd watch it, you'd judge everything else retrospectively and you'd be remembering it as one of the all-time great atmospheres. While you were there, it was very good in Paris.
What did you think of the singer, Owen, Lisa Lamb?
Oh, I thought she was all right. There was a nice rousing end to the anthem.
I'm sorry. Lisa Lamb is a fine singer. I wish her all the success in the world.
Another hatchet job incoming.
But I don't think we should be doing this unaccompanied singers of Aaron Levine. This is not...
Why not?
I think it's an energy drain.
Yeah, I think it was like... It works with Flower of Scotland and it works with...
Wales, something like
that. The Welsh National Anthem. But...
They're two different songs.
They don't start unaccompanied. The Flower of Scotland, they get everyone going and then they leave it in the last chorus. Mm. Everyone.
Flower of Scotland is a dirge anyway. I mean, it's funeral music. Aaron Levine is a brass band military marching tune. It has to be. It's not the greatest song, but it it has to at least be militaristic.
You need
the brass. You need the drums.
Well, Flower Scotland is a touch too militaristic for some tastes in Scotland. There have been calls for it to be scrapped for some of the sentiments expressed.
Well, we'll see if they get around to that.
So, okay, you weren't overly impressed by the anthem.
I just feel, you know, nice idea. It's always good to try new things. Let's not do that again. We tried it. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Could have tried it at Latvia, given it a rival.
We did try it at Latvia.
It was
unaccompanied. It was like the dry run for France, but gotcha. At least more people sang along. I mean, there was more people at the France game, to be fair.
Yeah.
So this isn't the major, but you know, I thought we'll go through this. So then the setup, you were saying, obviously your untrained eye thought that it was 5-4-1. I thought the team selection was very good.
Yeah.
So this is obviously a defensive interpretation of the 3-4-2-1, one of the two systems that I've been working on, interesting, Kenny. 3-5-2, of course, is the other one. Slightly different constellation of players there.
It sounds more like a sort of formation that you could stand over than the 3-6-1, which it kind of was also.
Well,
3-6-1 is just like, that's craziness.
Well,
you're
obsessed with this one, by the way. I mean, Evan Ferguson was not really a one.
So the 3-7-0.
5-5-0. Yeah. I mean, you had a line of five and then a pentagon of players in front of the five. Mm. And it was like, okay, how are you going to get through this?
What happened to the, we're not going to do a low block or go too defensive or all this stuff that Kenny was talking about?
Well, did he say, he didn't mention the low block. He said we're not going to go for a slow death.
I think low block might have been mentioned at one point as well. But listen, it's fine. We all knew that at times you're going to be pinned back against the French. There's no shame in that.
So what he decided to do, I mean, was take Obafemi out of the team and take essentially the second striker out of the team and put Ogbeni instead on the right. This was a really good decision, it turned out. Ogbeni was, well, he was man of the match. He won man of the match, obviously. It's always an Irish player. I would have said Camavinga.
I thought Griezmann was very good.
Griezmann was good as well. But, you know, okay, we always give man of the match to an Irish player. That's fine. So that was a good decision because Ogbeni was like our only real outlet. I mean, whether from open play or when Bazunu had, like he was the only player Bazunu was going long to. You know, if Coleman had, there was a good chance to set him away down the right, and he kind of missed the first pass. Second pass wasn't great, but Ogbeni got a free kick out of it. And Lucas or Theo Hernandez, I should say, was having real problems with Ogbeni, and just in the end resorted to just fouling him. Even the moment in the second half when Ogbeni got away from down the right, like that's Hernandez trying to foul him for I think the fourth time in the match, and actually being unable to. So he had a really good game. Troy Parrott obviously didn't even make the squad.
Yeah.
Is now not even the most promising young Irish forward at Preston North End.
Who's that now?
Tom Cannon.
Who
scored for the under-21s before, or the day before. But so that was a good decision, I thought, by Kenny. The other decision was he played Doherty on the left instead of McLean. Obviously, he's Coleman on the right with a lot of protection. That actually worked really well. I mean, defensively, I thought, passing wise, not great.
Yeah, because you're talking about Ogbeni, and they were looking for that ball the entire time throughout the match, especially the first half. And you just have a few of them had been played. You know, he was having to chase a lot of lost causes there. Anytime he was given a half decent ball, just into space, like not a complicated, just chip it over, it was fine. But Coleman hit one out of play. There were a couple of others that made it more difficult than it needed to be for Ogbeni.
Yeah, but like, you know, energy, attitude, everything about Ogbeni, I really liked. Ferguson obviously was playing centre forward and ended up playing in midfield a lot. And I think this might have been one of the reasons why he was taken off, but we can get to that.
Okay.
The midfield, he went with the usual midfield, like the last year's midfield, let's say. I mean, there was the question of Smallbone and him playing well against Latvia, but it's difficult to start a player in a game like this when you've been like building the other guys for years, you know? It's like, oh, we've built you up and now we're immediately going to discard you when apparently another option comes along. So I can understand that decision. Mulumbi probably had his best game for Ireland, I think.
Yep.
He had more touches than the Irish player. He had 91% of his passes were good, which is very good in a game. I mean, Coleman's was 60-something, you know.
He likes to tackle. Does Mulumbi, we know that.
And he I mean, he'd be a great man to be storming an RIC barracks, wouldn't he? Like, this is the... He really would. Can you imagine him just streaking across the yard, like, by the rising of the moon?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Just
well,
absolutely.
You'd have to find four other lads to storm
under
the
fire, doesn't
to be
matter.
Able to keep up with him. You know, yes. Like, we are supposed to be approaching in a line here. There is supposed to be a formation here, Jason.
Yeah, it was... I thought he was great. And then jumping up and sort of exhorting the crowd, I thought was great. I mean,
straight from the John Milan playbook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally a Waterford hurler on the Ireland soccer team, which is just, that's an image to warm the cockles of your heart.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ireland lead 1-0 at the Stade de France. Well, God, Gerry Henry has controlled the ball basketball style.
The big GAA story of the week was something we touched on Monday's free-to-air podcast, the return of Stephen Cluckson to the Dublin panel just in time for this year's championship. On Wednesday, we had Stephen Cluckson's former teammate and somebody who had dinner with the man relatively recently, said he was in fine shape, but did not at that stage expect him to be coming back into the Dublin panel or anything like it. Paul Flynn was as surprised as everybody else, but he, well, unlike us, we were fairly lukewarm, not too sure if this is a great idea.
You were fairly lukewarm.
Paul Flynn was not. Should Desi Farrell not have been able to build his own team at this stage, though, rather than going back to all these players, and in this case, going back to a 41-year-old goalkeeper?
Good point, right? And I think the answer to that is no. And I don't think it's down to Desi. I just don't think that there is actually, this is a very short-term thinking, which I'm okay with because of the fact that I've become comfortable with the fact that the medium-term outlook for Dublin isn't good. And what they're really trying to do, from what I can see here, is to just squeeze as much as they can out of the orange and see if they can get one more All-Ireland. And is that long-term thinking? Is that positive thinking for the betterment of the county overall for the long run? I'm not sure, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done at county board level to try and remedy what's gone on over the last number of years. Our teams are not competing at the minor and under-21s level. There's not an influx of top-caliber players coming through. Howard and Conn were the last two kind of key players that came in through the mix. A few new guys over the last number of seasons, but of that real ilk. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done at Dublin County Board level to try and reinvigorate things. But with the let's look at 2023 and can we win in All-Ireland and can Stephen help with that? Yes. In the medium term, is it good? Probably not. But we're dealing with the here and now.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people would say that Desi Farrell is that there's an element of panic to this, an element to desperation in getting Mannion and McCaffrey back, you know, two 29-year-olds. It's a totally different thing. But then to bring Cluckson as well. The way you're talking is that it's not panic. It's actually just pessimism about the next 5 years of Dublin football, which is actually not something I've heard that many people really talk about. I mean, there's a presumption there that, you know, that the floor for Dublin is still pretty high. You know, there's still nothing coming through in Leinster. They'll still be in the final eight of the All-Ireland Championship, kind of no matter what happens in a lot of ways. And that, you know, like people are still relatively upbeat about the fact that Dublin will be winning, you know, one in every three All-Irelands for the foreseeable future. But maybe that's not how you feel, and that's not how we should be talking about this return of Stephen Cluckson in that kind of framework. That it's actually not about that. It's, as you say, trying to squeeze one more All-Ireland out of these players.
Yeah, I do. I'm fortunately do feel that that there is the medium term outlook is not good. You know, I think that we know the caliber of players that are there, but you can't keep going back to the well. You can still be a really top quality player, like the players that Dublin currently have, but just be lacking that edge because they've just gone so long, so hard, and had such a successful career. But it takes its toll.
Yeah, even in the it was an original point which I hadn't heard many original points being made by that stage of the week. Just the idea that this is short term, but just do it short term. Try and eke an All-Ireland, squeeze the orange, one more All-Ireland, and don't worry about medium to long term. Okay. I wouldn't mind I wouldn't mind being. I'm not as comfortable with Paul Flynn with the idea that we're just not going to win All Ireland's in the next 5 years. So let's try and win one now. It would be nice to maybe let the goalkeepers who are there play. Yeah,
you know. I mean, in ways, it's a far more pessimistic, or it's far more pessimistic outlook than I was saying it in the question there. It is a far more pessimistic outlook than the people who are like, it's bad because. You know, you have to put the work in, the constant evolution. I mean, that kind of sounds as if it's being realistic, but this is even more bracingly realistic. Mm. It's like, listen, if we can get one in the next 5 years, we're blessed. I don't share Paul Flynn's pessimism about Dublin football, but then again, maybe Paul Flynn knows more about that sort of thing than I do.
Murph, let's finish with the Scots. We have become the Scotland Captains podcast.
We really have. Just ridiculous what's been going on the last couple of months.
You're as appalled as anyone that Freed from Desire was belted out with all the great musical options that they have in that fine country at such a huge moment, having beaten the Spanish. So what would you have gone for? Please enlighten our non-members. In the meantime, I'll tell them, they'll give them all the spiel. I'll tell them to sign up now. I should rephrase that. I will ask people to sign up now for a fiver a month plus VAT on secondcaptains.com. You guys will hear every episode ad-free if you do so. The Second Captains podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Creator Network.
Murray. Go on, you can take a drink of water there if you want. I see.
I was thinking about singing this song myself. I just wanted to clear my throat, probably best to leave it.
No.
To the Hibs supporters celebrating 114 years since their last Scottish Cup final win in Hampden Park in 2016, what were they singing on? Well, it's only Bloody Sunshine on Leith by the Proclaimers, which, let's face it, kicks the arse out of every other Scottish football song. So please, Brano, if I may demand of you some of that, please. Sunshine Leith by the Proclaimers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.